Welcome to Energy Stew. This is Peter Roth, your host. And I'd like to ask you, how are your dendrites doing? Are you familiar with that? Are they doing fine? Well, perhaps if you can at least understand what I'm saying, they're doing somewhat fine. And to help us understand all about our dendrites and other parts of our brains, is a wonderful guest who is maybe one of the most experienced neurofeedback experts around. And I'm so happy that he's a guest on Energy Stew. Marty Wutke, welcome to Energy Stew.
Thank you, Peter. It's very, very nice to be here with you.
Well, I'm so glad that we could talk because there's more than dendrites going on that we need to pay attention to. And you are really not, it's I remember the biofeedback days of old, which I think were valuable, but I think there's a lot of refinement since, especially since we can use the internet and look at things easily visually while our brain is cooking on whatever treatments you're giving it.
Yeah, it's come a long way. The technology, has gone from, A to Z in the past 40 years. When I started, it was very rudimentary. Now it's a very, very high tech, so
Yeah, and what's exciting is that we need it
yeah.
because it's not just our brains. Our brains are key to the rest of our bodies.
Yeah.
And if our brains are doing well, they know how to talk to our body
Yeah.
and back and get feedback. So it's great that you know so much about using these technologies and helping people. And I know you have a very busy practice. You're out in, I think, in California.
Yeah, Santa Barbara.
Right. And but people can contact you, maybe get referrals nearby or whatever, and wherever they are, because I know the audience is all over the place. And so maybe even in your hometown. So let's talk. Where would you like to start to help people understand how the brain receives and responds to the work you're doing?
Well, I think your the question that you posed in the beginning is worth me addressing. How are your dendrites? And dendrites are the little connecting points between the trillions of neurons in the brain. But as soon as I hear the word dendrites, I think of neuroplasticity and neurogenesis. And neuroplasticity refers to the fact now, this was once not understood, but it is now, the past couple of decades, that our brains are really plastic. They are moldable and they're constantly conforming to our environment, to the repetitive moods and thoughts and behaviors that we participate in. And neurogenesis is the other one, that we are still growing new connections all the time, generating new stem cells as well. So when we realize that our brains are not these static, frozen pieces of material, that they are plastic, and that we can influence the way that plasticity goes, we can harness that. So we have a tool now, neurofeedback specifically, or brainwave biofeedback, where we are training this neuroplasticity, where we're taking the individual's brain, and we are allowing it to modify itself, because it's a self-training process. And many, many symptoms can be ameliorated just through that process.
Like what?
Well, Right now, there's an epidemic of anxiety disorders, generally, and there's a broad spectrum. And largely, many of us in the field believe that it's because of the pandemic. The pandemic has created this background fear, a survival response, and that's creating, as I said, an epidemic of anxiety. A post-traumatic stress disorder responds very well to this. Addictions, depression. We also treat a lot of post-concussive syndrome and traumatic brain injury. And then, you know, it's not just for disorders, but it's also for peak performance or optimal performance. There's a lot of athletes using neurofeedback now. In fact, the Italian soccer team, the entire team does neurofeedback. They won the Gold Cup a few years ago. Military is using it. There's a few bases in Florida where they're using it for brain injury, post-traumatic stress disorder, and also training special ops forces for a peak performance model.
So, well, yeah, that says a lot to me about just normal performance for us more normal people who just want to have our bodies running smoothly. Yeah. And sometimes we can't identify it mentally. Because one of the things I believe in is that most diseases are psychosomatic. Mm-hmm. So therefore, there's something going on in the brain that is the brain then is not wanting to deal with it and sticks it into the body.
Yeah. Yeah, there's that wonderful book by Bessel van der Kolk, The Body Keeps the Score. And awesome book. He's got a whole chapter in there on neurofeedback as well. But he you can't argue with how he basically proves just what you're saying. The body keeps the score. Whatever happens to us, the body's keeping the score, and sooner or later it's going to manifest. So
yeah, but then when our bodies don't score well, then we come up with a lot of guilt.
True, guilt.
That yeah, adds to it.
That's true. That's absolutely true. The other thing that I should mention is sleep. Sleep is such a problem now. I think about 9 out of 10 people who come through our doors are having some kind of a sleep issue. And everything revolves around a good night's sleep, the health of the brain, the health of the body, the hormonal system. So we get very good results with that as well. So,
well, that's so important, because I'm hearing that a lot from people who are barely sleeping. People have trouble just even falling asleep for hours.
Yeah.
And so what would you recommend other than having a neurofeedback session? What can they do for themselves?
For sleep?
Sure.
Yeah, well, there's general sleep hygiene rules. The light exposure is a big problem. We have so many screens, video screens, TV screens, our phone screens that, really throw off the brain's production of melatonin. So, there's general rules that we are physically, we are designed to move with the sunlight. So, the general rule is get up a few minutes before the sun and then go to bed not too long after the sun goes to bed. We are, that is our cycle. And if we, interrupt that cycle or we resist it, we're likely going to have problems. So that's the first thing I look at with people who have sleep difficulties is, are you following the sleep hygiene rules? Get rid of any light in your room, any ambient light. Turn off your computer, turn off Wi-Fi, which is almost impossible to do these days. Make sure you're not getting a lot of electrical pollution. And try to get early morning sunlight exposure, even if it's just 20 minutes. Doesn't have to be direct, but that tells your brain to begin the cycle that will basically run all day and help you to go to sleep that night. Right. So those are the basic, and then of course not eating 2 or 3 hours before bed, no sugar, no caffeine, no alcohol is a poison to the sleep cycle.
Yeah, right.
Not a good thing.
It's amazing that there are so many bad habits going on nowadays.
Yes.
And it's hard to become more natural again. So I wanted to ask you about a number of things. One is that in some ways how this works, I not long ago, sometime last year, I had a couple of neurofeedback sessions where I had this kind of a cap on my head with wires plugged into it. And then I needed to watch a screen on the internet of some innocuous show or something like that. And while I was watching it, it started to get dimmer and brighter and dimmer and brighter. And I thought there was something wrong with the computer, but apparently that was my brain revealing something.
Yeah, I'm familiar with the system. I have the same system here. There's only about 1,200 of us practitioners using that one. It's very good, though. So your brain is being, it's receiving positive reinforcement when that screen is brighter. And whatever the practitioner determined your protocol needed to be, the screen was getting brighter when the Z scores were moving more towards the normal zone. And then when they were outliers on the bell curve, then it would be dark and your brain would be like, well, I don't like that. I want it bright. So your brain is, you know, the due to the neuroplasticity, your brain is rewiring itself to correct whatever was going on with you.
Yeah, because it was annoying to watch. My brain didn't want to be annoyed by it.
yes, that's motivation.
So I think that's probably a lot of what this is about is the brain. You're talking to the brain, and the brain is talking back in ways that it learns about itself.
Exactly, it's self-regulation.
Yeah, and so there are all these tools, and it's great that you have so many tools. You know that you've developed so many tools. You've been in this business for decades.
Yeah, 40 years now.
Wow.
1983. Yeah.
Wow. So you've watched it grow and change, and you've expanded outward too, because there are many tools for this, right?
Yes, many. There's all kinds of equipment out, but what you were describing, the full cap on your head, it's 19 channels of EEG. That's the most advanced system right now, sort of the gold standard. But there's home systems that you can buy. You can go on Amazon and Google Neurofeed, and you'll see all kinds of home systems. You know, they're not as robust and not as powerful as the system you were using, for instance, but they're okay for certain issues, relaxation, meditation, that sort of thing, you know.
Right. And also you work with sound vibration therapy.
Yeah.
So that's another addition to this.
Yeah. Yeah. We use a tuning. My wife does that. She uses a tuning forks, and that's very effective, especially when we combine it with the neurofeedback, not at the same time, but we use them, you know, one after the other quite often.
And people can be surprised by tuning forks, how they actually can change their vibration as they enter different parts of your energy field.
Yeah, it's very, very nice. Everybody loves it. My wife does it individually and also in groups of people. And the changes are profound for sure. So.
Yeah, well, I mean, because it's tuning. That's what tuning forks are about. They're
exactly.
Tuning us.
Harmonics, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, harmonic. That's a wonderful word. And the more harmonic we can be, and this is what I think all of what neurofeedback is about, is creating harmony.
Yeah. You know, I originally started doing neurofeedback because I wanted to accelerate the meditation process for my patients. I felt like meditation was a key. I still believe it's a key for many people for many different things. But I was working in a hospital and I had to bring some scientific credibility to the meditation process. This is 40 years ago when meditation was just getting going. And when I was looking at the research about meditation, the brain changes stood out to me. And that's what led me to pursue brainwave biofeedback. I figured, well, if we can teach the brain how to change itself with biofeedback, maybe we can aim it in the direction that meditation is aiming in.
And enhance meditation that way?
Yeah. Do quite a bit of that.
Because the biggest trouble with meditation is when the brain starts chattering.
The brain doesn't want to sit there and be quiet and listen to a mantra. The brain wants to do stuff.
and so it's that's a great way to be inspired to do all this is to help the brain find its quietude.
Yes.
And so there are ways of using sounds other than tuning forks too. You might, I don't know if you do that on computers.
I've used several systems. One's called the integrated listening systems that uses different frequencies, filtered frequencies, and you listen to it with headphones. That's also very effective. We use that with a lot of autistic children or children who don't have language yet. And we found that by stimulating different frequencies in the brain, it starts to wake up auditory pathways and help the brain to develop, frankly.
I hadn't heard that before. That's fantastic.
Yeah. Yeah, there's a whole science of sound therapy now. And, you know, it's getting very, you probably know about this. You know, I was watching a video last night where they use the 11th harmonic to explode cancer cells. You know, and this is not mystical medicine anymore. This is mainstream.
Well, what does the 11th harmonic mean?
Well, it's a specific harmonic range for frequencies. And so they find that when they hit that 11th, with specific frequencies, they hit that 11th harmonic, you know, it shatters glass, for instance. But in this research, it was exploding cancer cells.
And how do you hear that? Through earphones, or does your whole body listen to it?
Whole body. It's whole body. Yeah. Yeah.
Wow. That's amazing. And I could imagine how you feel while you're at at those frequencies physically, just sitting there. It must vibrate the whole body.
Yeah, but they can target the specific cancer cells now.
Particular frequency numbers.
Yeah.
Kind of like a Rife frequency.
Yeah, yes. I don't know how available it is yet. I don't know if it's still in completely experimental stages, but I wish I could remember the video last night. I watched a great video about it last night.
Wow. No, I think that's wonderful. There's so many new discoveries using these sciences that, you know, the medical world has never even considered.
Picking up slowly.
So there's opportunity. So everybody should stop being afraid of cancer.
Yes. That's, you don't want to be afraid. You want to fight.
Right. But there are probably frequencies for every function of the body that has a frequency need that, and it enhances that, or let's call it harmonizes that.
Well, I remember Einstein said we are just slowed down vibration. That's all we are. It's all matter is. Vibrations that have been slowed down. So.
And some of us are slower than others.
Yes, those are stuck.
Yeah, I think so. No, it's so great to talk about this because, you know, it's there was a quote, I think I got it from you on, I saw a video, or maybe I just thought of it listening to you, that a quiet brain creates a quiet body. And we really, for most of us, we do want to quiet our bodies down. They're too loud.
Yeah, yeah. No, it's very, very true. And a quiet breath or quiet breathing creates quiet brain. So, you know, we have a whole cycle that we can use, we can tune into.
And you teach people different ways to breathe?
Yeah, yeah. We teach different, you know, there's different breathing techniques for different purposes. Some very popular now, the Wim Hof method and those, but I don't get into that. We teach basic regulation, alternate nostril breathing, very balancing to the hemispheres of the brain. But in general, we teach slow diaphragmatic breathing, you know, just and there's even equipment that we can use for that, where we can measure the breath, measure the heart rate, look at things like heart rate variability, and teach people how to regulate their breath. And what most people find is if they regulate their breath, their mind will follow along. And then, of course, the body starts to respond.
But it's so important for people to have the recognition that this offers them, because otherwise it's just theory about, oh, you do this and this will help or whatever. But if you have equipment that shows them what's happening to their hearts as they breathe with this nostril or the other, or breathe slower or faster, and they see that the subtle rhythms of the heart change accordingly, it's wonderful.
Yeah, technology has changed, you know, has taken the mystical out of mysticism, or at least proved it. Like you say, we can measure all these things now. We can measure higher states of consciousness. You know, I've treated Buddhist lamas here, who wanted to improve their cultivation, their meditation skills, and we know how to do that now. We can measure these very fine markers in the brain that indicate higher states of awareness and higher states of consciousness, and that's really a lot of fun.
Right, and passion. Then what do you do for it when you see it needs help?
Well, we do training. So the neurofeedback, you know, let's say you don't have enough of alpha waves, or you have too much beta waves or whatever. So we use the feedback process, like you said, the light and darkness, to tell the brain when it's shifting, when it's changing, sort of rewiring. And it's, you know, it's, it works every time. It's not it's not complicated. It doesn't require high IQ or anything like that. We the brain, it's operant conditioning. The brain orients to the signal, to the positive reward, and begins to change.
Our brains are so smart if you give them a chance.
Exactly, for sure.
Yeah. That's what I love about this. It really helps the brain do its best.
Yeah, and it's, you know, it's non-invasive. It's what I like about it. Nothing is going into the individual's brain. It's purely a feedback mechanism.
Right. And that's important to understand, is that, for instance, you're watching a screen that is behaving in a certain way because your brain is a little bit out of kilter, and your eyes see that, and the brain sees through your eyes and says, wait a minute, we got to fix this.
Yes. Yes, exactly.
I love that. Wow. This is very empowering, and it's probably very satisfying for you to see so much, you know, even working with, you know, Tibetan lamas and helping them do better is awesome.
Yeah.
And
we recently were asked to do a study with the prison system, you know, looking at parolees. The recidivism rate is very high, depending on where you are and how you measure it. In other words, most guys who are paroled at a prison end up back in prison.
Right. But often it's like PTSD and depression, anxiety.
And head injury.
Yeah, that too, right.
So they approached me and we started a study. And we were getting very good results, but then COVID came along and we had to shut it down. But we may take that up again. But because you're absolutely right, depression, PTSD, drug and alcohol addiction, and a lot of head injury, whether it's from actual blow to the head or excessive use of drugs or developmental trauma. And my hypothesis is we're not doing anything to rehabilitate those particular issues. In fact, prison is the worst place you can put somebody who has any of those issues.
Right.
That got the criminal justice system's ear, and they were willing to. We had a big study. It was 380 subjects. So
But it's so fascinating that the system itself is still a little bit dense. But anyway, this has been wonderful. We're really getting close to the end of the show, and I'd like the audience to know how to find out more. And you do have a website.
Yeah, it's Wuttke, my last name, Wuttke, and then the initials IPI.com. IPI stands for Infinite Potential Institute. So Wuttke, IPI.com.
Right. This is so inspiring. I'm so glad that we could talk about this.
Yes, me too.
I'm excited to explore further and get my brain working and my body working as well as our audience will start heading this way. So thank you so much. This is so great talking with you, Marty.
Thank you, Peter. I'm really grateful to be able to share with you and your audience. It's great.
Yeah, well, I feel fortunate to have learned about you and have you be a guest on Energy Stew. So thank you.
Okay. You're doing great work.
Thank you. And this is Peter Roth, your host of Energy Stew at prn.live. I can be reached at peter@heartriver, heart river.org. I'd love to hear from you. And thanks so much for listening.